94.3 The Shark, everything that rocks. We are talking to our friend, licensed clinical social worker, Tracy Cardello. And Tracy, you are the one I would talk to about how the mind works. And I don't seem to understand what is it about memory. And as I had an argument with a good friend of mine about something that happened in 1997 before everybody recorded everything on cell phones, why two of us in the same room could remember something completely different. What is it about perception? Is it personality? Like, what's going on? Okay, I mean, him and I argued for like a good hour about this. I know I'm right, but he doesn't think so.
So there are several things, and the truth is that in the end, we don't actually know everything that there is to know about memory. We have a lot more questions than we do have answers. So one thing is vantage point and perception. The other thing is that we all see situations through our own lens. So we're paying attention to different drivers while an event is happening. And another thing is, right, we don't even know exactly where memory is stored in the brain, right? Like, so there's not one particular place where it's stored. So there are a lot of questions about memory.
So is it possible that your memory of something way back, like childhood memory or teenage memory, changes, and your perception of that memory changes based upon the influence of experiences as you get older? Like, can memories change based on, like, you get jaded to things?
Well, so yeah, so a couple of things. So our perception of a memory can change over time. Our belief systems about that memory, or our cognitions, thoughts about those memories, can change over time. Right, and that's one thing that therapy is very good at, right? We change the way we feel about a memory.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have to start with the premise that memory is pretty unreliable. So the things that we think we remember as children might not be particularly accurate, right? And we can feel very strongly that our memories are true, and yet, like you pointed out, you know, other people can have different experiences of those memories. And so it's a pretty wide open field.
So as a licensed clinical social worker, how do you decipher whether or not somebody suffering from something is an actual event or something that was built up in their minds over time?
Well, so from my perspective, what a person believes was built up in their mind over time is the most important thing. I have no interest necessarily in uncovering the truth. I'm more interested in the feelings that those memories evoke. And those are, you know, feelings in your body, sensations that you feel, emotions that you have as a result, and even how that those memories drive your behavior. So those things are most important to me as a therapist. You know, so the question becomes, like, how do we help a person reconcile their memories and come to a new understanding about them, or a more adaptive way of thinking about them? And a couple of ways of doing that. I mean, energy psychology is amazing for that. So is EMDR, right? Because we're actually changing the way memory is encoded in your brain.
So is it at times dangerous to keep a journal of what you've done during the days? Because maybe you go back and read it and then you're all of a sudden horrified by what at one point seemed to be what made the most sense.
Well, or curious about it, right? Like, I mean, I think horrified is one stance, but curious is another, right? So the things that we thought when we were 10 years old, we don't necessarily think now. And that's great, because that sort of indicates that we've grown over the years, and that's, you know, that's what we're going for.
So is that the main purpose of therapy? I understand people go to you for specific reasons, but is it personal growth that is the main focus of anybody's therapy, first and foremost?
Yeah, I think that's my favorite reason. I mean, ultimately, that is the reason, right, is we're trying to grow. And whether our growth is about resolving a trauma or improving our relationships or, you know, some other concrete goal, ultimately, it's all in the service of personal growth, right? You don't want to be the same person at 40 that you are at 20. right? You want to have an evolved opinion or an evolved belief system about things. And so naturally, you know, you want to see that some change is happening.
Yeah, it's funny. My girlfriend always says all the time, I wish I would have met you sooner. And I always say, no, you didn't. You would have hated me in my 20s. And, you know, I do believe that I have grown, and therapy had a lot to do with that. But your energy therapy doesn't just change the way you think, but doesn't it also change the way you feel, which in turn changes the way you think?
It does, right? And that's all, you know, there's a little bit of cognitive processing in there too, right? Cognitive behavioral therapy. But yeah, the energy therapy unblocks the emotions and sort of allows you to work on things, not just the way you feel, not just the way you behave, but also the way you think about a situation.
Now, I know that tapping is your... I don't know if it's your primary form of energy therapy, but, you know, when you go to TracyCardello.com, there's a lot of examples of that because it's aesthetic. You know, it's easy to see, but there are other other versions of energy therapy that you do that's harder to translate unless you're in person?
Yes. So tapping is easy because I can teach it to somebody in 5 minutes. They can do it themselves. They can do it any time of the day or night on any problem. Right, and decide for themselves if it's working or it's not, and change the targets if that's appropriate. Right, there are other kinds of energy psychology that are much more difficult to do by yourself, and so they really require professional help.
I mean, you always make the joke. I've heard my mother tell me I needed professional help since God knows how long. But honestly, at some point, especially now as we enter a new phase of a world that we don't recognize, what would you suggest to somebody as far as whether or not they should make a decision on whether they need professional help?
I think that you're looking for somebody who's going to do more than just listen to you, right? And obviously, therapy is great to get somebody who's unbiased and non-judgmental to listen to you talk. But it's so much more than that, right? Because, you know, I mean, we can talk to our family and friends about a lot of things, but they're not necessarily going to have the same perspective as a trained professional. So it can be really valuable to get a professional therapist to work with you and help you sort of uncover the things that you can't find by yourself.